Work it out. All right, so like Blake said, we're starting a new series today. I'm excited about it. You know, as a parent, many of you can relate to sort of the amazement that we still have when our kids can't find simple things, right? So, I mean, just think about it. So just simply like just asking, you know, your son or your daughter to go to the refrigerator and getting something out of there, and then the episode just begins, right? They're looking, they're searching, looking behind, looking up and down, only to realize that it's right in front of them, right? But we're like that too sometimes, if we're honest. It's not just our kids, it's we as adults. Sometimes we're desperately looking for things, and it's right there in front of us. You know, the nation of Israel had a similar conundrum that they had the promises of God. They had the reality of having the experience of God entering time and space on their behalf. And yet when Jesus shows up on the scene, they miss him. He was hiding in plain sight. So like Blake said, we're going to take the next couple of weeks talking about this. And we're going to come out of Mark 4 today. And I've got a special guest, as you can see, that's going to read a little bit of text here. Hanging there with us, Mark chapter 4. Verses 1 through 20. Just make sure you're unmuted there, buddy. You're good to go. Go for it.
Okay. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? A farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once and receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of their word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
All right, thanks, buddy. You can go ahead and turn that over to Pastor Blake. All right, so let me just pray for us really quick. Father, just be with us. Holy Spirit, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the title of the sermon today is "Listening is More Than Hearing." Listening is more than hearing. So we've got Jesus here, and he's teaching by way of parable. Now, we don't use that word parable too often. I mean, I don't think I can quote a time and say, "Come on, kids, come on with me. Dad's going to share with this parable with you." Right? So what is a parable? Just really quickly, it is a teaching, right, using some everyday common experience that people could relate to, but that has a significant spiritual truth. So Jesus is teaching this parable about farming because in that time in their society, that's been something that they all could relate to. Now, why is he teaching and telling this story this way? We're going to focus on two things. And the first primary thing is that When we are brought into a story that we can relate to, it brings the opportunity for self-discovery. And oftentimes, we learn best when we discover something on our own, when we have an awakening or an epiphany, a realization that, oh, that's me, that's my life, that's my story right there. So come with us for a moment here, because Jesus is, as his day was for them, he is beckoning us to see our lives in the story. So we're going to jump back into the text here, and we're going to pick it up at verse 15. And it says quickly here, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So what is Jesus talking about here? Very quickly, that there is a cosmic reality between good and evil. And you're in the middle of it. Satan, he doesn't say, oh, some, you know, your boy over here, you know, your boss over here. Everything that we tend to think is the opposition against us. Jesus makes it very clear and plain. If you want to understand this message of the kingdom, you need to understand who your enemy really is. That there's an adversary that is trying to withhold an important truth for you to become who you're supposed to be. Satan. We don't really talk about Satan that way, but Jesus talked very frequently, very regularly, that there is a supernatural order of things that is opposing you and trying, I emphasize the word trying, to impose the will of God. One of the things that we see here that's important is that when we think of the word skepticism, right? We think skepticism is something that just comes because we lack information, we lack understanding. It's really not true. What Jesus is saying is that skepticism is rooted oftentimes in a spiritual warfare. Why is that important? Think about the Israelites, because if there was any people that should have been open to whatever God wanted to do to rescue them, it was the Israelites. Saw the waters part, had the stories, had the prophets, had the destiny even of a Messiah to come. And yet when he comes, they're like, you some carpenter from Nazareth. Right. It can't be you. Right. So here's a people that would have been accustomed, again, agrarian society, accustomed to looking without, looking beyond themselves for help, right? We are not that society. We look within for help. We are accustomed to saying, man, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm just going to just drive on up and get something to eat. Come on. No, if we don't farm and these crops don't produce, we're in trouble. That was their reality. So through the advancement of technology, through the advancement of human progress, we have crowded out God. So if they were spiritually blind, how much more so we? You know, there's a reality here that Jesus is trying to get us to understand is that, you know, if we have a warped understanding of who God is, then we will continue to be warped ourselves. Because the reality is, unless there is revelation about who we are, through the grace and the mercy of God, to pierce through the darkness of the spiritual forces, you will continue to think that, man, you know what, I've got this knowledge about God. You know, Jesus is really cool. I can kind of mix and match things to create my own reality of truth. Right. And God is saying, no, I am the way. Yeah. I am the truth. Yes. I am the life. I have come and pierced through your cosmic reality to bring the truth to you. Yes. But if we walk in skepticism, we'll continue to be blind. But we need the grace of God to break through. Amen? That should be an encouragement to us to pray and to seek the face of the Lord, right? As Devon said, he got an answer to his prayer. That wasn't something that he did on behalf of his friends. It was through the cosmic reality that's happening that we can't see clearly every single day, but through the grace and mercy of God, he can do things that we can't. Where are you in the story? Are you skeptical today? Let's continue on. All right, so we pick it up. Verse 16 says, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Man, you know what? I've never farmed or any of that. I'm like quasi-city boy. Okay, truthfully, I'm suburban, okay? Truthfully. So I've been on a farm, but I don't know anything about farming. But I had this desire one time to do a little bit of gardening. So, man, I'm going to get some stuff to come up out the ground. I'm gonna have a little harvest, right? That's what I'm going to do. So, you know, this was some time ago. Matthew was about 5. He probably has no recollection of this. So, you know, I said, you know, this would be a good time to bring him into this, some father and son time together. We're going to get our hands in the dirt. We're going to have something come on up out the earth, right? So we start this process, and I call up Ashley Grandy, because if you know Leslie and Ashley, they've had a garden for a long time. I said, bro, what do I need to do? So make it your little container. I know exactly the kind of soil you need to get. You get this stuff. I said, well, this time of the year, what can I grow? He said, well, it's kind of late in the fall, but you can maybe grow some lettuce. I'm like, all right, we'll grow some lettuce. So I get the seeds, put it down up in there, and then, you know, we're out there, and all I can tell you is that I remember it was just hot. It was hot. It was September. You know how it can be still hot in September here in eastern North Carolina. So it was still some 90-degree days. So Matthew's kind of sort of watering, and I'm like, okay. And then after about a week, he's like, I don't want to do this. I'm gone. And then I'm out here. I'm like, it's hot. I'm trying to grow lettuce. And, you know, I can just go up to the Walmart for 99 cents and get some lettuce. What am I doing this for? See, after a few weeks, I just gave up on it. I didn't grow any lettuce. Here's the issue. The issue was that a lot of the motivation behind me wanting to get my hands in the dirt was really for my son. Time together as father and son. So my reasoning for wanting to get my hands in the dirt was related to our relationship, not because I really wanted to get down there and harvest something. You hear what I'm saying? So my understanding about the reality of what we're doing here had nothing to do about the dirt and everything about our relationship. Once he said he didn't want to be a part of this, I'm like, why am I out here? What's my point? My point is this, is that some of you have been far away from God for a long season. You were excited. There was joy. There was passion. And then something happened. Trouble. Persecution. Maybe just things in life. And you're far away from God now. Why? Could it be that maybe there was a reason other than God himself that was motivating you to be in his presence? Hey, look, it's amazing that we can have a friendship that might be the key or the segue to get us back into church, back into God's presence. It's amazing that there's so much wonderful worship music that we can engage ourselves in, so much so that we can have a wonderful worship moment. But if it's about our feelings alone, if it's about someone else's relationship that we're tethered to, that we're connecting or trying to connect with Jesus, that will get exposed in time. And Jesus actually loves you enough to let you be exposed so that you understand that, oh, it's not about you, Jesus. It's about these other things, these other people. And in his great mercy and love, so that you can then come back and recognize that, oh, man, I was the rocky soil. Man, I shouted with joy. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. But then when things got tough, because I wasn't rooted really in him, I fell away. But God loves us. His mercy is new every morning. And I'm here to tell you today, I've been that rocky soil. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we'll try to unpack here in the time that we have here this morning is that, you know, the soil conditions don't stay the same. The soil of your heart does not stay the same. It needs irrigation. It needs fertilization. It needs that word churning in your soul, right? And out of that word, that seed of life sprouts up something new in you, a revelation of truth that anchors you, that roots you, that allows you to stand upright and walk again tall after you've had something devastating even happen in your life. You have to get rooted in Jesus. Not rooted in another person, not rooted in an incredible worship experience, but rooted in Jesus. Where are you in the story today? Still others, verse 18, excuse me, still others like seed sown among thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. We moved last year. Yay, moved during the pandemic. And at our old house, that we lived in for a little over 10 years, we had a little bit of shrubbery on the front yard. And I would have to get out there regularly because of this like vine-like weed that was just vicious. I mean, that thing would just come up, it would wrap itself around my shrubs, it'd be on the side of the house. Any time of kind of just heavy rain, consistent rain, that thing would just shoot up and be all over the place. And when you pull it, you can't just spray it with weed killer. That's just like, that's like milk to me. So you have to actually have to pull it and like get your hands down it and you have to pull it up. And it's wrapped around my shrubs and I'm not happy about that. And I'm trying to pull this stuff out. And then it just comes back. I was told by someone that that particular vine was actually not indigenous to Eastern North Carolina. It came from like Asia or somewhere, right? So when they built our house, it was already in the soil. When they built our house, it was already in the soil. You know, in our society in this time, we are just in the cultural waters of success, of money, of career, of prestige, of everything that is orbiting around not God, but around us. And one of the things that's some other preacher mentioned, and I know Blake knows who I'm talking about here, is that, you know, there is a competition for your soul. The cares of this life are competing for your soul. Let's dig into that just a little bit. We know that by the grace of God, there's been stability in this nation, more or less, since its inception. We can look at other nations and we can see through coups, through upheavals, a lot of political instability. Now, what is the result of that? The result of that is simply this, is that when there's instability of leadership, whoever is under that leadership will be unstable too. You know it. I mean, like some of y'all work some places where the leadership structure was not healthy, it was changed, there was turnover, and you were sort of the, you know, you were victim to that in many ways. It was an unhealthy culture, unhealthy environment. How does that relate to us? Think about your own soul. If your own soul is in constant competition with, do I travel for my career? Or is it God? Do I travel after my relationships? Or is it God? Do I travel after trying to, you know, pursue this dream that I've had? Or is it God? There's always this or God, this or God, this or God. The cares of this life. And it's deceitful. Jesus used that word particularly as it relates to money, but I think that's really overarching in our society that this is deceitful because some of those things are good. Who doesn't want human flourishing? Who doesn't want, you know, to have a well-being and, you know, things for your kids, et cetera, et cetera? It's deceitful because it's competing for the one place on your throne. There's only one place on the throne of your soul. One place. And someone or something is always residing there. And there's a competition. The thorns in the parable were already there when the seed falls. So as the seed is trying to sprout and trying to grow, it gets choked. Now, some of us are getting choked by some patterns and things in our lives that are causing us not to be fruitful for Jesus. And y'all quiet today. Man. So what do? Exposing the thorns. Reading the website, the Gospel Coalition, it talks about how do we expose our idols? Where does our imagination go? When you don't have to think about anything, you're not forced to think on something. Where does your mind drift off to? That could be an idol. That could be something in your world that could be choking the fruitfulness with your walk with Jesus. What are we paying attention to? Where are we spending a lot of our time and our energy? Where are our finances going? These could be things, these cares of this life, that might be choking out the word in your life. But we have hope, amen? We have hope, amen. Let me tell you why we've got hope, because remember that story I just told about the seed and, you know, I'm growing lettuce, I'm out of here. Well, you know, about 2 months later, I actually go out into the backyard. Somebody already know. You already know. Not because of my faithfulness, not because I was out there attending the garden, but what do I see? I see a little lettuce coming up on out the soil, coming up out the ground. See, that seed had found good soil. And not because I tended to it or anything like that, because I was out. I was done. Matter of fact, the garden itself had gathered weeds in it, but yet that seed was still coming out. That's the power of God. See, you might be in a place where you've been fallen, where you've been broken. You might be in a place where the cares of this life have been rapturing you. But you have hope through the power of Jesus Christ to be able to come out of your circumstances, to find hope again, to find life again, to be renewed again, to be restored again, to find joy again, to find hope again, to find peace again, find love again. It's in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep on going here. So we're going to come up to the last soil, right? So other seed sown on good soil. Hear the word. Accept it and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. That word accept is really key there. Are we accepting the words of Jesus? Are we accepting Jesus as he is? Not a manufactured version of Jesus, not our own sort of compilation of different ideas, mythologies, our own version of who Jesus is. Are we accepting Jesus as he is? This Jesus that tells us that there's a cosmic reality you need revelation to be free from. If you're not anchored in me, you will drift away and go astray. That if you allow the things around you to take primacy of your life, right, it will choke and make you unfruitful. You'll be unstable, you know, just sort of in this fit. Like, man, you know, I'm not happy, but I'm sort of happy because I got this stuff, but I'm not really happy because I'm not really serving Jesus like I know. And all of these sorts of things, but we accept Jesus for all that he is, all of his glory, all of his goodness, all of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his power, all of his authority over heaven and earth. Will we accept that Jesus? When we accept something, we are acknowledging that we're taking it as it is. So I told you earlier that there were two main reasons Jesus sharing this parable. One, for us to see ourselves in the story. But the second is to reveal more of the kingdom for those who are inside. And affirming the truth of the reality is some that are outside. This might be a little bit hard. So I'm going to tell this story to break the ice, all right? So really quickly, I was about 13, and you know how some 13-year-olds can be. Yeah, we feel like you know something, a lot of something. And at that time in my life, I had been doing pretty well academically. And I got to this place in my life where all my friends were like, could care less about academics. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I caring about academics? So I'm just going to just do me. So I'm just start, you know, not doing any of my studies. And my parents eventually were like, nah, boy, you get back here and do your work. I'm like, I ain't doing my work. I was like, yeah, you're right, you're going to go up to your room. So I got grounded, okay, for months. And I was just at a place where I just didn't care. I wasn't motivated. I had lost motivation to do anything academic. So I remember walking outside. My parents are probably pretty much just like, okay, you want to live your life the way, fine, whatever. We're not going to ground you anymore. It's just what you're doing is where you're at. So I remember coming outside one day, and my dad was washing the car. And I'll never forget this. And he tells me, you know, you can do whatever it is you want to do in your life, son. But know this, when you turn 18, you're getting out this house. Now, here's what you need to understand about my dad. My dad is not a man of many words, but he means what he says. I had known that before by, you know, I got in trouble one time, and I was talking back to my mom, and, you know, went to bed thinking, I got away with it. And my dad came home late that night from work and whooped me in my bed, woke me up. So when he said something, he won't play. Now, I knew when he said at 18, that was it. And I realized enough about where I was at in life that I don't really know nothing. I might need a little extra time to hang around to figure this thing called life out. So I realized then it was the seed of his word that awakened my soul. It was a journey to get back on track. It didn't happen overnight. But that was that awakening moment, that real talk to let me know, you know what, you're on the inside now, James, but if you keep this path going, you'll be on the outside. You'll be on the outside. And God is making it very clear. Jesus is making it very clear. When the disciples asked the question, tell us, explain the parable, they didn't understand it either, but he said, but because you're in, because the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom have been given unto you, I'm going to reveal what the parable means. See, some of us know that we don't always have it figured out. We don't always know and understand. But because God, by his grace and mercy, has brought us in, man, he reveals some things to us. He's patient with us. He reveals his love to us. He reveals more of his word and of his truth and of his grace and his mercy. Even though we're constantly like the disciples, we don't understand the parable either, Jesus. What are you talking about? We don't have to understand because by his grace and mercy, he's brought us in. And by his love and kindness, he'll teach us and he'll show us and he'll grow us by his mercy. But you gotta realize, are you in or are you out? And that's really the crux of the story and understanding, where are you in the journey? Which one of the soils are you? Again, by the grace and mercy of Jesus, the soil conditions don't have to remain the same. His loving kindness, power of the Spirit of God, can break every yoke, break every chain, extend mercy. He's a merciful God. But he's very clear, very clear. If we miss him, and the Israelites, they missed him, and many were left on the outside. Get ready to close. Start at here at verse 1 where we began. And it says again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Just, again, as we close, just imagine this moment. Jesus on the shore, he's got a crowd of people around him. And he steps out onto the boat. Why is he doing this? He's stepping out onto the boat so that he won't be muffled. You'll be able to hear with clarity what he's saying to you. And then he starts by saying, listen. Don't just hear what you've always heard. Don't go off of what you think you know, what you think you understand. But will you listen? Will you listen? He has, in this moment, those of you who are joining us online, in this moment, maybe if any of this resonated with you, it's because Jesus has stepped out off of the shore into the boat so that you could listen, so that you could hear him. Understand of his mercy and his grace and of his love and his kindness. He's not trying to make you realize that you're on the outside to leave you there. But he's helping you to see where you are so that you can be on the inside. That's who Jesus is. Let's bow our heads for just a second. Let me wait on the Holy Spirit for just a moment. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. His loving kindness, his peace. To you today, the gospel is simply just this, is that Jesus came, God in the flesh, died on the cross for your sins in your place, and through the power of the resurrection conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that all those that believe by faith in what he's done, for them will be saved. If that's you this morning, you are prepared to give your life to Jesus. You've listened this morning. I want you, whether you're at home or you're under the sound of my voice here in person, I just want you to repeat after me, quietly to yourself. Lord Jesus, I see you out on the boat. I see you away from the shore, and I've heard your voice. Lord, I am a sinner. I'm in need of salvation. I'm in need of your grace. I believe what you've done for me on the cross, and by the power of the resurrection, by faith, I make you Lord and Savior.